Here's what's coming up on today's episode of Your Tagline Here.
Yeah, so we're predominantly a library of things, which if you think of like a normal book library, but we have all sorts of domestic things such as carpet cleaner, tools, ladders, and then some more fun things like a pasta machine, barbecue, and then airbed, all sorts of stuff. It's really broad deliberately, and it's for people to hire out. And then we also sell hot drinks, delicious cakes, and some sustainable homewares and gifts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Your Tagline Here with me, Simon Tomlinson. In this episode, I speak to Sophie Watson, who has just recently launched a new business in Birmingham called The Borrow Shop, which offers a library of tools and equipment which people can borrow. So rather than going to the DIY store and buying stuff that we only use a few times, which, let's face it, is a waste of money and resources, members of The Borrow Shop can borrow them instead. This includes items like carpet cleaners, cordless drills, ladders, airbeds, and even gazebos. She also sells coffee, cakes, and homewares from her premises in the Jewellery Quarter in Birmingham. Sophie explains how she came up with the idea, why she's so passionate about sustainability, and how she set up the business from scratch, which included getting financial support through crowdfunding. It's such a great example of being brave and taking action to do something that's a little bit different. I personally found it really inspiring, so I hope that you do too. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to mention our sponsor, KitLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KitLab have over 15 years experience and specialise in branding, websites, digital marketing, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kitlab.com, which is KIKLAB.com. Okay, without further ado, let's get started with the episode. If you do like it, then please make sure you give us a thumbs up and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future content. Hi, Sophie. Welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm really pleased to have you here because as soon as I saw your website a couple of weeks ago, I was really intrigued about the idea and I thought, wow, I've got to have this girl on the podcast to find out more about it. So let's get straight into it. Can you just start off by telling us what The Borrow Shop is?
Yeah, so we're predominantly a library of things, which if you think of like a normal book library, but we have all sorts of domestic things such as carpet cleaner, tools, ladders, and then some more fun things like a pasta machine, barbecue, and then airbed, all sorts of stuff. It's really broad deliberately, and it's for people to hire out. And then we also sell hot drinks, delicious cakes, and some sustainable homewares and gifts.
Yeah, and I think it's such a good idea because I know that I've done a lot of DIY in the past. And there's been things that I've had to buy from the DIY store that I've only had to use like once or twice. And it feels like a waste of money, but it's also a waste of resources as well. So I think it's a great concept to have this, to have all of these different tools that people can then borrow. Where did the idea come from?
So during lockdown one, many moons ago, I wanted to do lots of new stuff. I was very bored in my flat. I wanted to make some pasta. I wanted to, you know, clean the carpets. Boredom had hit that level. But A, I did not have the money to kind of purchase all of the stuff I wanted to buy. And then B, I don't have the space to store it. I live in a teeny little flat in the Jewellery Quarter. Okay. So space is a big problem. And then kind of the third thing is the environment. So the average drill is used for around, I think it's 12 minutes in its entire lifetime.
Wow.
So someone, they buy it, they use it for a project, maybe putting some pictures up or something. It's thrown in the back of a cupboard, maybe used a couple years later. So I just thought that there must be a better way for us to be using these resources kind of as a community. So they're used to their full potential before they have to be kind of recycled or landfill or wherever they end up, they need to be used appropriately for the energy that goes into making them.
Yeah, because it must take a lot of resources to make all of these tools with all of the different elements that are within them and all of the different pieces that make them up. So for like a drill to only be used for 12 minutes is a waste. And with the current climate challenges that we're facing, then all of those things that we can do definitely help to make a difference. So when you came up with the idea that this is something that you wanted to do, how did you go from having that idea to actually making it happen? Because a lot of people have brainwaves about things, but they don't always make them into reality. So I think it's great that you've done that. But can you tell us how you've done that?
Yeah, so I think the idea it's been in the back of my mind for a couple of years. And then it came kind of around again in my mind at a time when my job had kind of changed and I was a bit bored in my job. And then, so the main kind of barrier, I guess, is finance, setting up these things. I was ready to leave my job, no problem.
Okay. What was your old job?
So I worked at the University of Birmingham in the psychology department as a lab manager.
Okay.
But my lab kind of moved away and I was doing different things to change quite drastically. But yeah, finance was the biggest barrier to kind of getting it up and running. So savings was kind of mostly where the money has come from, like personal savings. My partner's not too pleased. We're not buying a house anymore. And then secondly, crowdfunder. So we crowdfunded.
Yeah, I noticed that on your Instagram.
Yeah, which was just phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. We crowdfunded over £8,000.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to everyone who donated. And it was a scary 4 weeks.
So you had the crowdfunding open for only 4 weeks and you raised £8,000.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really turbulent. And it was on the one that if you don't reach your goal, the money is just returned to everyone.
Oh, right.
So there was extra pressure, like we got it all or none of it.
And how did you go about promoting that crowdfunding? Did you just send it out to your friends or did you do anything else to get it out there?
Yeah, so the kind of social media was the main one. And the JQ bids in the Drury Quarter were absolutely great. They put us in on their newsletter, kind of on their social media, and they have like a good reach within our like local community. So that was super helpful. And then it was just kind of word of mouth and people telling other people. I don't really know.
I guess like for myself, I saw the website and thought, wow, that's an amazing idea. I love that kind of thing because it's coming up with something which is different that I hadn't seen before. And I do really like the sustainability side of things as well. And sustainability is a really hot topic at the moment.
Yeah.
So I imagine that if I was excited about it when I saw it, that a lot of other people would have been as well. And crowdfunding has been very successful for lots of businesses in the past. So when you got that money and you're like, oh, I've got to do it now because they've given me the money, What did you do? I imagine the first thing was to find a premises somewhere that you could use.
Yeah, after a short breakdown of... no, not really. Find a premises, find the items. And then there was some legal stuff we had to do with like our borrower's terms and conditions.
Okay.
So that was kind of a big one. It just kind of... It was many kind of months of preparing, then a month of waiting to see if the crowdfunder worked, and then it was just go, go, go.
Wow. I've not actually been to the premises in person, but I've seen the photos on the website and it looks like a beautiful space, really stripped back, industrial, but done in a really nice way as well. I'm not far away from where you are, so I am I'm planning on coming and getting coffee and a cake.
Good.
What's the most popular cake that you sell?
Oh, so at the minute we've got 8 types of vegan cookie from Boston Bakery, who is the local bakery in Wollenhall. I would say the Bakewell is the most popular.
Okay.
People really love that one.
Well, I'll come along at some point in the next few days and have a coffee
it's
and a Bakewell.
Very good.
Because it's just, what street is it on? I can't.
Northwood Street. Northwood Street. Just is around it... the corner from Otto Pizza on Caroline Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Same building.
So it's a great location as well. And one of the things that I like is the jewellery quarter is really growing at the moment with, well, there's lots of apartments, which is bringing more people in, but there's lots of restaurants and bars and new businesses, which is great to see. And especially when they're keeping things in keeping with the rest of the area. So how long was it from when you got the when you got the idea to when you got the crowdfunding, and then when you got the crowdfunding, how long was it until you then actually opened up and started trading?
So I can remember the minute actually that I decided I'm going to do it. I was in London on at the end of October. I stood in a bookstore and I was like, nah, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. So that was end of October. And then there was kind of lots of months of working around work and researching and all sorts of stuff. Ran the crowdfunder in April for 4 weeks, kind of over Easter time. And then we opened, so got the crowdfunder money end of April. We opened the beginning of July.
Okay.
Yeah. No, beginning of August. Sorry, August.
Oh, right. So it's really only been just over a month. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. How's it been going so far?
Good. So we've had really, really good feedback from people. Lots of people popping their heads in that haven't heard of us that now kind of know we're there.
Yeah.
The borrowing is increasing. People are enjoying the coffee. It's been a really good first month. I'm really happy.
And out of all of the items that you're lending or borrowing... No, you're lending and people are borrowing. what's the most popular thing or a couple of things that people are borrowing from you?
Carpet cleaner.
Okay.
Definitely the carpet cleaner, because everyone has gross carpets, whether you know it or not. Like, they are gross.
Yeah.
And the airbed actually has been out on a few borrows.
Okay.
And the power washer. That's the most popular so far.
And one of the things that I noticed when I was on the website with the homewares that you have, there's some beautiful products. The ones that really caught my eye were the prints of Birmingham, where it's got some Birmingham landmarks. Like, I remember there's Alpha Tower and the library and Selfridges.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful prints. Did you make them yourself?
No, absolutely not. Okay. No, they're from a local artist, Hannah Parks.
Okay.
Yeah, she's really great. I'm hoping to stock some more of her stuff soon.
So. Yeah, and it's nice having some of that local stuff, isn't it?
And the BT Tower is the most popular, I think, because of our location. Everyone wants the BT Tower.
So with the business going through that process, which must still be very fresh in your mind, with this podcast, one of the things that we'd like to do is we'd like to make it educational for other people who might be thinking about doing something similar or setting up their own business, so that we can learn from your experience of how you've done it. So what would you say were the biggest challenges that you faced, and what were the biggest learning points that you could pass on to other people?
So I'm not very good at asking other people for help, which I quickly had to get over, because it would be impossible to set something like that up without asking other people for help. So just ask. People are super friendly, and they're happy to help. So that's kind of the first thing. And the second thing is switching off. I used to leave my job and just leave it at the door, and that was fine. But I'm struggling to kind of switch off in the evenings, like on a Sunday when we're not open. But I think it's just time. I need to just adjust and like be more strict with myself about turning off. Yeah.
It is really hard going from normal full-time employment into going into self-employment, and that's something that I've done myself, and it is hard, and especially at the beginning when you're trying to build the business, then you feel like you need to put all hours into it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I finish, the shop shuts at 6, and then I clean up and go home, and then I'm like, oh, I could be doing that, and then, before you know it, it's 10 o'clock, and I've got to be up at 6 again the next morning. So it's, for long term, I need to just calm it down a bit.
Yeah, but it's completely understandable at the beginning that you do want to put in all of the hours that you can and make it into the biggest success that you can. So with looking into the future, what do you see the future looking like for the business?
Yeah, so we're in a really small unit at the moment. All our items are kind of in the basement, and then we've got quite a small shop upstairs. So I'd love to have like in the far future, like a bigger premises, so it could be more of a community hub, some more seats, we could put on more events for like local people. I'd love to have like book clubs running there, that kind of stuff. Just more community-based activities. The space kind of restricts me at the minute because it is very small. And then just growing the library as well to have much more stuff available for people to hire. Just kind of bigger everything.
Well, it's good to start off relatively small, which is manageable, especially when it's you doing everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that is hard, and then you can grow from there. And I'm sure it sounds like it's a success already. So I really hope that it grows into the future. And I love the idea of making it into a community space where you can do lots of different things, because I think that we really need those things.
Yeah, definitely. I think our communities kind of lack space where you can just be without spending money, essentially, as well. So we have like a free little library where people can just come and browse the books. I think keeping in theme with the library.
What kind of books do you have?
So it was all my old ones to begin with. But people have been great. They've got all sorts now. They've brought lots of extra ones. People are taking stuff. And like, there's no obligation to spend. You can just come and have a look at the books, take a book, leave a book. I think that's important to have space where people can just be without spending money.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to move in a couple of months.
Yeah.
So when I find books that I don't want to keep anymore, then I'll bring them down.
Excellent.
And do you take donations for tools as well, if people have old tools?
Not at the moment. Okay. Possibly in the future. I don't know in the minute, just because we'd need to have them properly kind of assessed to make sure they're safe, pat tested, all sorts of stuff that I don't have the resources to kind of do at the moment. So in the future, I'd actually like to have somebody that could fix stuff. The donations could come in and we could fix stuff and kind of donate them to local charities and stuff. That's something, again, in the future that I would like to do.
And that sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like you've got lots of different ideas of where it can go in the future, which is absolutely fantastic.
That's it.
So I also noticed that it's classified as a social enterprise business, which means that you give away 50% of your profits to charity. Is that right?
That is right, yes. So legally, we're a limited company, but I have pledged that we will give 50% of our profits away to local environmental and social charities. Okay. So there's a couple I have in mind are Cypher Fireside. They do great work with kind of homeless people and those in vulnerable kind of living situations. There was one I was looking at. It's a Birmingham-based company that plant trees, so for the environment. So I'd like to do that as a company. I think it's just really important to kind of give back to the local community.
Yeah.
And I'd like our members to also have a say in who the money goes to, because essentially it's their money, their spending, that will be going to the local organisations. Mm. And
I think that's a lovely thing to do, especially when you're going into something which is brand new, it must be quite scary going into that, and you're also giving away half of your profits to charity. Fair play to you for doing that, and I think that supporting those local charities is a really important thing to do. And trying to make the place that we live more of a community, because with the city centres especially, then sometimes it doesn't always feel like we're in a community. So I think places like the Borough Shop help to make it feel like more of a community.
Yeah, I think it's really important for businesses to kind of give back when they can. Obviously, we've only been operating a month, so we've not kind of made any official donations yet. But yeah, I think it's really important to kind of, if you're reaping the financial, to kind of give back and make the community a better place for everyone. Yeah, that's something I really believe in.
Yeah, definitely. And with sustainability, I assume then, is that something that's really important to you from a personal values point of view? And I'm also assuming, are you vegan as well?
I am, yes.
Okay. Is that for the environmental purposes or also for like animal welfare?
I think I've been vegan for 5-6 years now. Okay. And initially it was very much environmental. Since then, I've kind of learned about other things and other things kind of come into play. But yeah, the environment is quite important to me. I remember as a child shouting at my parents to recycle. I was like 8 years old. Yeah, it's always been quite like a big part of my identity, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it's great that there's ambassadors like yourself who are making a difference, not just with what you do personally, but now also making it into a business so that you can make an impact. What do you think that we can be doing to help the environment more in the future, sort of as a local community within the Jewellery Quarter? Is there more that you think that we can do?
Yes, there's always more we can do. I mean, a big one, I think, in the city centre, especially, is cars. I think that is the biggest one. I'm a keen cyclist, I guess. Okay. That would be my number one. I think transport is one of our biggest problems in city centres, especially.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that there's the clear air zone now, which should be making a difference, but there are still lots of cars about, and maybe people driving when they don't actually need to, and I'm probably guilty of that sometimes.
Yeah.
When I could walk or I could ride a bike, and actually we can all make a difference if we all work together.
That's it, and that's kind of the vegan thing as well. Like, me alone being vegan is not going to change much for the environment. But it's when lots of people come together and do it as a collective, it makes a much bigger difference. And it's the same. It's the same with anything for the environment, really. Individual stuff doesn't make that much difference, but when you get more and more people on board and doing it, and it's the same with the borrowing. Like everyone who's not buying a drill to sit in the back of their cupboard, it does make a big difference when lots of people come together.
Yeah, and also just buying stuff that we don't really need. Like it can be very easy to get sucked into seeing things that other people have and thinking that we need it as well to keep up with the Joneses, where actually most of the stuff that we buy we probably don't really need at all.
No. I listen to a podcast called The Minimalists, and this is where I first heard about it was a tool library in America, and it's so the minimalists are all about like living more intentionally and not keeping up with the Joneses, essentially, not buying stuff you don't really need. And somebody called in and was talking about tool libraries in America. That's kind of where I got the initial idea years ago.
So with tool libraries, do they exist in America?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a few. And there's kind of a few library of things in the UK as well. Operating as charities across, I think there's about 10 across the UK.
Okay.
So it's still very kind of new and not mainstream, is it?
Yeah.
It's not on every high street. But yeah, they are about few and far between.
And it's similar to like the zero waste shops, which are starting to become more popular now.
Yeah.
Which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Clean Kilo down in Digbeth, and they've got a store in Bourneville.
Yeah.
There was Roots had some stuff in the Jewellery Quarter. They definitely are more popular, but again, they just need people to kind of support them so that they can continue doing the good stuff. Because if people don't use them, unfortunately, they will shut down, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. And it's it is really important to support our local communities, especially through the tough times that people have had, and people have been finding it difficult with keeping businesses going. So it is important to support those local people.
Yeah.
So the final question that I have for you is, as you'll be aware, this podcast is called Your Tagline Here. So we get the guest to give us their tagline for the episode.
Yep.
So what would your tagline be for this episode to like summarize your story with the Borrow Shop?
Yeah, mine would be do it now. Imperfectly, just do it now. That's the kind of to starting a business, doing anything that you kind of and ahhing about, just do it. Just, you're not going to lose anything. And kind of the same with the environment. Just have a go. Do it imperfectly, but have a go.
Yeah, and I think that's great advice. And I think listening to your story is really inspiring, because you did just have an idea and decide, yeah, I'm going to do it. It would be very easy to have that idea and sit on it for 10 years and or never do anything about it. But the fact that you've actually taken the action and you've actually put your neck on the line and you've actually gone out there and done it is inspiring for me, to give me a kick up the arse to like, oh yeah, there's stuff that I need to do that I haven't done for ages.
Do it now.
And I'm sure that there's a lot of other people who will be wanting to leave their day job and wanting to do something that they're really passionate about, but they're feeling scared about doing it. So hearing your story about how you've done it it's really inspiring. So thank you very much for coming on.
No, thank you. It's been great. Thanks.
Yeah, cool. And I wish you all the best of luck with the business, and I'll see you soon when I come for coffee and cake.
Bakewell cookie.
Thanks, Sophie.
Thanks.
I hope that you enjoyed that episode with Sophie. Next week, we're going to be speaking with Paul Collins, who is an expert about sneaker culture in the UK and a passionate collector of urban footwear, which I'm sure is going to be an interesting episode. To make sure you don't miss out on this episode and all future content, just make sure you subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.